Well, hi, everybody, and welcome into this week's Clemson Athletics podcast. Don Munson, along with Tyler Grisham, our new wide receiver coach, obviously, for Clemson football, former Tiger, so we're going to talk about that, former NFL guy. We're going to talk about that. We'll even talk about his high school days down in Hoover. Actually, I guess in Birmingham, Alabama is what you call home. Played high school football, though, in Hoover, so we'll talk with Tyler about all of that. But first and foremost, I guess my first question to you here, Tyler, is, a little surreal that this has happened. I mean, you go back to your playing days, and now here you are as the wide receiver coach at Clemson.
Yes, surreal would definitely be the first word that comes to mind. It still feels like this isn't reality. It's a dream opportunity. The way I describe it is, I feel like I'm a business owner, right? Now that I'm leading these wide receivers, I have so much on my mind. You know, my wife jokes around, normally I fall asleep and I hit the bed. But for me, I'm twisting and turning, thinking about, you know, so many things that that I'm now in charge of and have the extreme honor to lead, whether it be, you know, drill work for the wide receivers, recruiting, academics for the wide receivers. So things that I've never really had to deal with, I'm now in charge of. And so it's a huge responsibility, and it's a great honor. And again, it is a absolute dream to be in this position, coaching wide receivers for Clemson, my alma mater, and coaching the position that Coach Sweeney coached, had the pleasure of being coached by him for 3.5 years. Again, my senior year was that interim year for him. So I was a part of that transition. So it is. It's an amazing honor, a great dream that's been accomplished.
All right, we're going to cover all of that stuff that you just talked about here. Yeah. In this interview. But let's also ask, all right, you've sit there and watched Jeff Scott, you know, do this thing with the wide receivers here the last several years that you've been here on staff. What do you change things up? What are you going to bring now to this wide receiving core?
Yes, I mean, I'll say this, he did a phenomenal job getting to watch him. What's funny is my senior year, he went from being a GA to coaching me, and for me to then return and to see the growth that took place while I was gone was incredible. And for him, I know having Brad Scott as his dad helped him a ton, and he really is so similar to his father in many ways. And so I learned a lot from him that I think will carry me for the rest of my life, as long as I'm in this profession, when it comes to detail and recruiting and a lot of things that I would have to learn down the road. I kind of already know now, having spoken with him and watched him, which is very helpful for me. One thing that I am excited about is making it it's my room. You know, so these are going to be my receivers that I'm coaching, and so it's important for me to make my mark, to make my stamp on this wide receiver group, and I can do that a number of ways. I think I'm going to create great buy-in from these receivers, and I believe I already have started to. But working with them and introducing some great drill work that can transfer over to the game that you play. That I believe can really help these guys take the next step and improve technically. Things I learned from Coach Sweeney when I played, things I learned from my time in Pittsburgh as well as in Denver. And then at the same time, with social media, there's so much out there that our players are exposed to. There's some stuff that's really great. There's some stuff that's not so great. So being able to filter through that for these guys and then deliver them some great drill work and things that I believe that will really help them. So, yes, there will be, I would say, there's going to be plenty of changes made that our guys will feel immediately, and I think it will create some excitement. Here's one thing that I made the guys aware of yesterday, which was pretty fun for them. I'm letting them wear visors, helmet visors, okay, clear visors. Coach Sweeney let the receivers wear them back in the day. Coach Jeff Scott did not allow them to wear it, and I don't know why, but because I didn't have a good reason not to, I'm going to let these guys wear visors. So they've already gone down there today and met with Abe and Nick in the equipment room, and they're getting visors on their helmets. So there's excitement there. So I'm really excited. There's a lot of things that I could say, but I really do look forward to kind of putting my own touch on this wide receiver room.
I used to always kid with Jeff Scott back in the early days when he was coaching, not necessarily when you were playing, but 2010 when I actually joined staff as part of the support staff. I used to get him, you know, better players make you a better coach. He used to call it just, well, that's just DNA. So let me ask you about the DNA of your room right now. And then also, as you're out there recruiting, the DNA that you're looking for.
That's a great question. I feel like that recruiting plate is always, I'm always having to spin it. And there's a lot of plates I'm spinning right now, and it's taking a lot more effort right now for me probably than it will years down the road where it becomes second nature. This is my new normal that I'm adjusting to. But I'm so excited to, you know, to get with these guys. Jeff brought in unbelievable playmakers and unbelievable young men. I had him over last night. We had Mellow Mushroom at my house, and we were playing games and having a great time together. And such a great group of guys. I'll say that first and foremost. And that's important because there's a lot of great players out there. But if they don't fit your culture, as you've heard plenty of times from Coach Sweeney, it just won't work. And it'll be hard to deal with day in and day out. You know, Coach Sweeney tells us that, and maybe it was Bo Schembechler that said, you miss out on a recruit, he may beat you once or twice a year. If you bring in the wrong recruit, he beats you every day. And so it's important for me to know what, and I do know, what we're about at Clemson, and go after those guys that not only are great players that can help you win games, but that will help you maintain the culture that is so important in keeping to have a good program and sustain excellence. But, you know, as far as our receivers go, you know, Justin Ross is as good as they come. He's going to be he's going to play a pivotal role, and I think he's excited to really take that next step and be that great, great player that he can be, and he's shown flashes of being. So he's going to be our alpha dog, and he and Amari. You know, I think Amari, too, we're going to use the hashtag for him, all gas, no brace. We're taking the brace off of his knee, so he'll be playing fast. That's big for me, to really help him take that next step in his play speed. Because we know what he can do when he gets the ball in his hands. So creating separation, you know, route running, those are things I think that he's going to improve at, and he's going to have a special year. You look at Joseph Ngata and Frank Ladson, two true sophomores that probably weren't given the opportunities they were hoping to get last season, but they're going to get them this year. There's no question about that. And I've spoken to both of those guys. Both are great, great players that – I think are going to be stars here, some of the best to ever come through, and I firmly believe that. And God is strong. He can, and you can let me know. I can go through. I can go all day talking about these guys. So you
That's
cut
good.
This up.
No.
But I won't go into great, great detail with the rest of these guys. But just, you know, they bring so much. You know, Frank Ladson can take a top off and can run, and so we're going to use him in those ways. But he also has good feet and good quicks too. So, but back to Ngata, so strong and can fight through, you know, tough releases and, you know, make the contested catches. And you know, Brandon Spector is going to be great in the slot, but the thing about him is that he's not just a slot. He can play multiple positions because of his height and speed, so he'll be all over the place. You know, Will Sweeney, I mean, I have to mention his name because he's going to do everything right for you. He's going to play primarily in the slot. That probably fits him best. So he's a guy that can, if somebody gets hurt, he can go in right now and play for you. I mean, that's very valuable. You know, we brought in E.J. Williams. He's going to start in the boundary. Have Ross as his mentor, so we'll put him in the boundary, and he's been very surprising to me watching him through mat drills as a young guy. He seemed like he wasn't a mid-year, you know. He seemed like he was a sophomore or something already, because he was hanging with those guys, competing with them. He has some dog to him, which I really like at wide receiver. We're not just soft, you know, skill players. That's the thing that I had to learn playing for Coach Sweeney, is you have to be tough, you got to block. And so all of these guys are going to improve in that area as well. You know, Cornell Powell is another guy that's been here, done that, but I'm waiting for him to take the next step, and I think he will this year. And I really do believe I can help him. I believe in him, so I expect him to take the next step. And there's other guys that, you know, man, the walk-ons, and I won't go through every name, but we've got a great group of walk-ons that can contribute and that can really help us and that we'll get a chance to. Our numbers are down. You know, we don't have as many scholarship receivers as we've had in the past, and that's okay. We're all right. We don't have to have 10 scholarship receivers, and we'll be just fine. But that means that everybody's going to have to step up and really play well and prepare this spring into, you know, summer training and then into fall camp. Everybody's going to have to be ready to play and contribute.
Give us a sense of recruiting now for wide receiver U. I mean, Clemson is known as not putting a ton of offers out there. I always laugh at Tony Elliott. You know, Tony Elliott may be the most selective guy in his room for offering a kid. What is Tyler Grisham going to be like, and what exactly are you looking for when you go on the recruiting trail?
That's great. Yeah, I think, too, having been around these guys and know our program, and Coach Sweeney's made it very clear to me, you know, it's probably not going to look very different than it's looked, you know, and it shouldn't, because we've had success, and I've learned from Jeff and how he managed things. It'll be very similar. You know, I'm not a guy that's we're not a program where we're going to throw out a ton of offers. If we're not ready to take your commitment, we're probably not going to offer you. So that's how I've operated already to this point, and we'll continue to. So I think that's impressive. Whenever you do offer a guy, he does realize how special it is. So that helps us. I say it helps us because of how slow we are. It probably helps us more than hurts us. It really does. So for me, what I'm looking for is more of the same of what we've had, right? It's, you know, I can't mention any 21 receivers' names on this podcast, but we've had guys commit to us that that are Clemson guys, you know. And so I'm thrilled about the guys we've already tell us that they're Tigers. Guys that we've offered that have not committed are guys that fit that same mold of being Clemson men, you know, and can be successful in the classroom and in the community. You know, one thing that I'm targeting more this year is more of a slot type guy. And so we have a few offers out there, and I'm recruiting some other guys as well. But really looking for somebody that has elite change of direction, has elite, you know, yards after the catch, a guy that, you know, can fill. And I think Amari's going to be like that this year, but similar to a Renfro, a Ray McLeod, you know, an Artavis Scott. We've always had one of those type of players. And so I'm looking for that, and believe we're going to get, you know, one of those guys that for this 21 class. So that's important for me, you know. But I want a guy that is committed in every way, is a leader, is going to do everything right on and off the field, cares about their team, you know. And that means, do you block, you know? Do you care enough to do that? Are you tough, you know? Do you love to play football? If you don't love to play the game, it's really hard to be successful at the next level, you know, college and then pro. If you don't love it, man, those days when it's really hard and you're up at 5:30 a.m. for mat drills, you know, if you do love it, man, there's intention, there's purpose in your actions, you know. Never confuse activity with accomplishment, right? Just doing stuff, just showing up isn't enough. You know, you have to be purposeful in your work. So those are the type of guys that we've had and we'll continue to recruit and continue to bring in here. So more of the same is probably the short of it.
All right, obviously your playing days here, 2005 through 2008. 132 catches, 1,390 yards, 8 touchdowns in your career here at Clemson. But obviously your senior season is one that I'm sure as a player, a little turmoil, because like you said, that was a season where Coach Sweeney takes over midway through. And I think that people forget that things didn't necessarily click for Coach. So you lose two of the first three games. But then he comes back, you win three in a row, including 31-14 over South Carolina, and you're headed off to a Gator Bowl to take on Nebraska. As a player, and now as you kind of think back on that, what was that like, and how big of an influence was that time frame on you right now?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it is funny. There's times when I think back, and it feels like it wasn't, you know, it could have been a few years ago. I mean, just so many great memories from that year, you know. But here I am 10-plus years removed. But I'll say this. When I found out he was being named the head coach, I knew that he would be successful. And I knew that the rest of the team would quickly buy in. I'm sure, and it was sad because Coach Bowden was a great coach and we all really loved him. But having played for Coach Sweeney, I had a different perspective when this happened. And I knew it would only be a matter of time when the guys would be able to be around him to hear from him, Coach Sweeney, consistently and watch him lead, that there would be almost immediate buy-in. And there was. That doesn't mean you're going to win all your games. And I threw an interception. I threw a pick six against Georgia Tech that game. Coach Sweeney's first head coach, first game as a head coach. I get a reverse, you know, and I'm trying to throw it to Aaron Kelly. I get hit. You know, throw a pick six, get up, miss the tackle. It was embarrassing. Well, that was his first game as head coach, and I hated that happened. You know, but so we didn't have immediate success on the field. But I would say that, you know, Coach Sweeney was starting to make those changes, you know, immediately as a head coach, and whether it be the Tiger Walk or, you know, little things here and there that created excitement for the players. You know, I think there was immediate buy-in, and even though those games weren't won, those first, you know, you said two losses out of your mm-hmm. first three, we could feel that, man, like this, there's something different, you know. And then I was just so thrilled. I mean, still remember my senior day game against South Carolina in the rain. What a great game that was. And I guess you could say that maybe helped seal his, you know, his opportunity to be named the full-time head coach going into that next season. And so, you know, there's a lot of things I've forgotten since that day, and there's been a lot of ink spilled too, kind of on that, you know, half of the season. But you know, I knew that he would be successful, and I saw how hard he worked. You know, I have my senior day picture with him on the field that game against South Carolina, and his eyes are barely open. You know, he was grinding. He was working so hard to do well and to give us a chance. You know, it wasn't just about him, and I think that's one thing too that our players, as a receiver for him, we fought for him because we knew that, yes, he coached us hard, and yes, he made you feel terrible at times because of how hard he coached you, but you also knew that he loved you and dearly, you know, and you believed that, so you were willing to take tough coaching, you were willing to go and practice hard and fight hard and play hard for him because you believed in him because he loved you, you know, and so I learned that, and I can tell you this, I'm not sleeping as much as I have been. I've been working hard and preparing and for this opportunity, you know. I'm really caring for my guys, you know, and showing them that it's about more than just football for me. It's about their souls. It's about their hearts. And so, you know, and I believe that the more time I spend with them, they would begin to feel the same way I felt for Coach Sweeney, you know, feel that same way about me and hopefully go to fight for me and for the team, you know. And so that's what I've picked up on, is that it's never about Coach Sweeney. It's about the program. It's about the team. And guys fight for coaches like that.
All right. After Clemson's over, you go on. Your son is a free agent with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2009. Played for Pittsburgh 2009, 2010, and 11. You're on the practice squad. 2012, you're in Denver. I just want to kind of cover this four-year period. All right, so over the four-year period, you play in four games for the Steelers in 9. The Steelers then in 10, while you're a member of the practice squad, play for a Super Bowl. Lose to Green Bay, unfortunately, in that. You come back in 11, and you lost in overtime in the playoffs. That's the famous Tim Tebow game,
yeah.
All right, so where Tebow throws the touchdown pass in overtime to win it. Then with Denver, you go on, you lose in overtime to a double overtime game to the Ravens in the playoffs, but you're playing with Peyton Manning. So I realize there's and by the way, Mike Tomlin is your head coach in Pittsburgh. John Fox is your head coach at that time in Denver. So there's a lot there, and I realize this is a big question. But that four-year period, tell me a little bit about that four-year period and kind of how it impacted your life with the people that you were around, with the things that you saw and that type of thing.
Yeah, man, it was – I got married soon after graduation here. So Maggie and I, my wife Maggie and I, we went to Pittsburgh and started our lives together there. But it, you know, we weren't promised to do that. I was signed as a free agent with Pittsburgh. Went and you know, went to training camp with those guys. Had mini camp, you know, and then training camp in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, is where they would have their training camp at St. Vincent College. And I had probably the best group of practices I've ever had in my life. You know, training camp in the NFL is a little different from college. I mean, training camp in college, that transition from high school to college for me was harder for me than it was from college to pro. they're probably not as taxing, maybe not as strenuous in the NFL as they are in college. And so I was preparing for it to be harder than college. And so I felt like that I was greatly conditioned. I was ready. And two, Coach Sweeney prepared me. I was with the other other rookies that came into camp. I was better prepared for the next level than they were. And they, you know, even some of the drafted guys, I had probably better technique than they did because we were forced to playing for Coach Sweeney, you know? And so what a blessing that was to go into camp and feel that way. A lot happened in that camp. Like I said, I practiced really well, and that was the grace of God, I believe, you know, and that was really cool. But I ended up hurting my hamstring. And normally, as a free agent, if you hurt your hamstring and you can't practice, they just cut you and bring in another guy. But I had done enough, again, having those good practices, for them to keep me around. And that was huge. That told me a lot that, okay, these guys like me. And actually, one of the trainers who I got close with gave me a hint. Hey, listen, these guys like you. You know, let's get healthy. You know, and he was kind of in my corner, which was really cool. And so got healthy, got back to practicing. Went through the preseason games. We played 4 preseason games. My last preseason game, I catch a dig, an in-breaking route, and land on my shoulder. And when I get up, immediately I knew something was wrong. I run off to the sideline, came into the locker room, do an x-ray, and I have a level 3 AC joint separation. Well, if you play other positions, you sometimes have surgery on that, but they opted not to do surgery on me. And I came in the next day, and the cut day, you know, the last preseason game, come in the next day, and they say, all right, Tyler, we like you. We want you to be on our practice squad, but you have to practice. And so they ended up having to, you know, numb the pain for me to practice.
Take the needle.
There you go. To practice. And I was willing to do that because, well, that got me a job in the NFL. Well, I had to play, but they also had to put me in a brace. So I played with one arm. I practiced with one arm for the first handful of weeks. But I firmly believe what is funny is they didn't give me the option of having surgery and going the IR route, because that could have happened. And frankly, you get paid pretty well in IR. I didn't know any of this. I just said, I want a job. I'll practice. Sure, sign me up. But I believe that, you know, showing toughness, selflessness, you know, just practicing and doing my best and giving the defensive guys, those starters on defense, a good look is what you're supposed to do as a practice squad player. You know, you're essentially your scout team. But I think that bought me 2 more years with the Steelers. And I played those last 4 games of my rookie year. Going into year 2, I was excited. Okay, I played those last 4 games. We didn't make the playoffs, but okay, here I am. I could be a starter. Well, they draft Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, and those guys are better than me, just plain and simple. So that meant I never saw the field again, never saw the game field, that is, those next 2 years. But, heck, I was in Pittsburgh for 3 years, my wife, and had an unbelievable experience, but got really close with Coach Tomlin. Coach Fietner, who was my receivers coach, he's now the OC there. So I still have great relationships with those guys. Whenever they come back to visit us to look at our players, you know, we still catch up to this day and text each other to this day. And so had a great experience there. Quickly moving on to Denver. You know, my time was up in Pittsburgh. They said, all right, good luck. You know, good luck to you. You know, we need to move on. We're going to bring in some other guys. And that's the nature of the NFL. Well, went to Denver, and Tim Tebow was there. But then they signed Peyton.
Right.
I grew up a Tennessee fan. I have family in Tennessee. My mom and dad are actually in Tennessee now, living there. And so that was unbelievable to be around him, you know, and to watch his leadership and his work ethic. It was unbelievable. He was coming off that neck surgery, if you remember that. So just he was putting in so much work, you know, and time at the facility. So learned a lot from that, watching that, being around him and those guys. Well, when they brought him in, they also brought in Brandon Stokely, which hurt my chances. And so I didn't think I was going to make that team. And so I wasn't on that team the entire year. I ended up having knee surgery, and that was a blessing in disguise because that gave me a few games of IR credited to that season, which got me my 3rd credited season, which got me vested in the NFL and all that. So that was a blessing in disguise. And so that was the end of my playing days in 2012. But overall, ton of stories, ton of experiences that I think, you know, really has prepared me even for this opportunity now as a wide receivers coach at Clemson, you know, that I could take with me and I think will pay dividends for, you know, from here on out.
2010, did you go to the Super Bowl game? Did you go to that that Super Bowl? And all right, so then here's my hearing you say yes. Here's my question: Super Bowl, national championship game. How similar? How different? Other than obviously professionals and amateur athletes, but how similar and how different is all of that?
Yeah, so it's hard to say. I mean, I was a practice squad player, not dressed out for that game, so there wasn't the pressure of having to perform, you know, on the field. You know, what's funny is a few of us hung back, and we actually watched the halftime show from the 50-yard line on the field, and it was the Black Eyed Peas and I'm drawing a blank right now on who the musician is, right. But it was a pretty cool, you know, experience to see that live, you know, during the halftime show. But unfortunately, it came up short against Green Bay, and would have been awesome to be in a part of a Super Bowl championship, you know, team. But had a great season that year, and you know, learned a lot from that. And then a national championship, you know, on the other side now, coaching. And I was an analyst, you know, during those national championships. And so my hope is that we get back to a national championship now that I'm in that wide receiver coaching role. And that'll be different even, I'm sure, a different feel going into it than it was as an analyst. I would have to say the national championship, being back here, you know, with Clemson, my alma mater, just how special Clemson is to me, you know, man, Such an honor to be a part of that. Such joy that, you know, especially that first one, that comeback win against Alabama, you know, and be on that sideline, you know, be a part of the staff, unbelievable, you know. So both great experiences, but if I had to choose one of that was more enjoyable, more meaningful, and have to be, you know, being a part of a national championship. And yes, you know, we won a couple, you know, we've lost a couple, but still being a part of that unbelievable experience.
One of the things that I've written down here, you probably see it on my card, is just number 13 circled, all right? There is something special about the number 13 here at Clemson. I mean, you know that. You wore it. See, Hunter Renfro wore it. I'm thinking that maybe as far as wide receiver, that Justin Watts, am I right in thinking and saying that maybe he was the first one that had 13 on it? Or is that, you know, I think that that's correct. But talk about that lineage now as you've kind of handed down the 13, and obviously Spector's in the 13 right now. I mean, there's some lineage there. There is some history to wearing that 13 jersey.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It kind of happened randomly initially. I think Adam enjoyed watching my style of play, mm-hmm. you know, and he was wearing number 16 when he first got here, and I think it wanted to switch to 13 whenever it was available, and so maybe that's how it began. And then there was only with Hunter, there were only a couple numbers available. He was wearing 35 or 37, you know, a terrible number for a receiver. And so after his redshirt freshman year, we said, hey, this Hunter Renfro guy's pretty good. You know, we might need to probably change his jersey number. And Tony Elliott and I were in the staff room, and he was trying to get Hunter an 83. That was the number that Tony wore at Clemson. And I said, Coach, no, he needs to be 13. That fits him. And so, again, with only a couple of jerseys available, with Adam moving on, it made sense to throw him in that jersey as well. And then same thing with Spectridge. So it's just kind of worked out as far as the timing of when guys have been here and moved on, and then the next person kind of stepping up. And, you know, so that's part of it. But it is. It's pretty cool to see that and for these guys to have some success wearing that jersey. It really is cool. And what's funny is I was on the sideline last two seasons ago watching Hunter against Wake Forest, and we had a great game against them on the road that year. And it was the game where we put up a ton of points, and Hunter had done well at receiver. We put him at punter, and then we put him at quarterback. You know, and so I'm looking at guys next to me, and I kind of jokingly, I look around like, guys, I think now it's time to say that Hunter's the best number 13 to come through Clemson. And they said, Tyler, we could have said that 2 years ago, you know, which I knew that was the case, because he did so well for our program and was a great player. And so, and I joked at the recruiting wrap up about how, you know, if you looked at, compared us to iPhones, you know, I'm the old iPhone 4, iPhone 5 that you can't get any money for if you try to trade in. You know, I'm on a on a shelf somewhere collecting dust, you know, kind of deal, you know. And so Spectre would probably be the 11 plus or whatever it's called. So it is really cool, man. There's been some great guys, better than me for sure, that have come through here, earned that jersey, that have had great success for our program.
You do realize when you showed up here that the iPhone didn't even exist.
No.
In 2005. There was no such thing as the iPhone. That just goes to show you how technology has just gone and how the 13 has gone.
That's right.
Has rocketed. All right, last question for you. This spring, tell me, you know, what's it going to be like for you? What do you want to get out of this group? What are the foundations that you're trying to lay to carry into August? And then, obviously, there are uber expectations for this football program. Everybody's expecting you're going to start out probably preseason one in a lot of polls. You're going to be expected to get back to the college football playoffs. Part of that reason is because of the dudes that are in your room and the guy that's throwing it to them and the guy that you're also able to hand off the ball in the backfield to. What a great time to be a Clemson football coach.
Amen. It is. Like I said before, it is an honor and a great responsibility, too. I mean, I really do. I'm racking my brain on how to best prepare myself and then prepare these guys this spring, because we are laying the foundation. Now, this is the get ready phase, we call it. Well, okay, let's get ready to have a great run in the fall. Well, it starts right now. And so for me, it is, you said, lay the foundation. So for me, it's lay the foundation of what we're going to be about as a wide receiver core, you know. And so, you know, there's the non-negotiables. It's the great effort, right? It's the playing with intensity. It's running. It's the little things, too. It's the running on and off the field. That's what we're about at Clemson. Well, that's what we're going to continue to be about as a wide receiver. You don't jog on. You don't walk on or walk off the field. It's sprinting to the ball until the whistle's blown. These are things that Coach Sweeney really cares about in spring practice, so that's what I care about. You know, if I'm coaching for Coach Sweeney, I better care about what he cares about. And it does. Those things matter. You know, the details are what separate you from your competitors. And laying the foundation as far as what kind of coach they can expect me to be. You know, I'm going to be very energetic and fiery and demanding a lot. And so setting the foundation for our drill work and how they're going to be asked to work, what they can expect from me and what they can expect day to day as far as, you know, what they're going to be put through to grow and develop in their own, you know, skill set. And so it's going to be really huge for me to start early and start fast with these guys, to get out there, for them to know that the standard. And the standard hasn't changed for our program or for the wide receivers. You know, we call ourselves Wide Receiver U, and people have called us Wide Receiver U, especially in the past, you know, decade. Well, for me, the standard is the standard. That's what we said, and that's what Coach Tomlin was saying in Pittsburgh. Okay, so yeah, I'm a new wide receivers coach, but that doesn't mean the standard's changed for Clemson, you know. And we lost, okay, T. Higgins has moved on. Well, all right, Justin, the rest of you guys, all right, the standard hasn't changed. So to me, it's more of the same. And maybe that's our tagline, I don't know, more of the same, you know. But for me, it's really taking the next step, because the details and the route running, the technique, the releases, you know, that's going to be an area of emphasis. We got exposed a little bit toward the end of the year last year against Ohio State and LSU a little bit. Those are elite corners and, you know, secondary. So for me, it's prepared these guys to be as successful as they can be on the field. And then, you know, there's some downtime in the spring as well. So have some fun with these guys. You know, have them get to really know me as a person off the field and enjoy doing life together. And when you do that, man, you'll fight for your brother on the field as well. So there's a lot more I could say, but that'll be good for now.
All right. Hey, appreciate the time. You give me about 30 minutes of your time today. Appreciate that greatly. Looking forward to what Tyler Grisham, the football coach, is going to be like here at Clemson. Very excited for you and the family and Maggie and the kids. This is just the beginning of some great things for you, and we're blessed to have you here.
Thank you so much, Don. I really appreciate it.
There you go. Tyler Grisham's been our guest here on the podcast. That does it for us. Hey, don't forget, for everything Clemson Athletics, right there at your fingertip, ClemsonTigers.com. Spring ball starts on the 26th. Of February. All right. Spring game on the 4th of April. So kind of circle that date, certainly on the 4th of April, and be here in Death Valley. For Tyler Grisham, I'm Don Munson. Thanks for being with us. Go Tigers.